Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandilo Kandepwe, also known as Aka. Highlight of the podcast, anytime. So today's guest is somebody I stumbled upon her work and really admire her drive and everything she does. And because I'm in this phase, very curious about people and how to lead people and how to build a team, I'm really grateful that I also get to stumble upon people that are doing that line of work, which is something which is very interesting for me because it's like my mind and my thought process and my social media platforms are so aligned that I literally attract those people. So with that being said, today's guest is somebody I hope you get to enjoy the conversation and learn a little bit more, and then I'm happy to get to know her more. With that being said, welcome today's guest, Disha. Did I pronounce it right?
Yes, it is Diksha. That's almost fine. Never mind. It's okay.
No, I really like to, because my name is hard too. I really like to try my best to pronounce people's name right. Hi, how are you?
I am great, and thank you so much for having me here today. I'm really grateful to have this opportunity to share my story, my journey with people around the world, and I really hope that people find something useful to them, something that can help them in their journey as well.
So what does your name mean? Because I butchered it, I'm not curious.
Yeah. Sorry. So, talking about my name, so Diksha means initiation of knowledge. So it's more around like imparting knowledge to somebody, and it's a initiation of change. It brings initiation of change.
What's your early childhood memory, or just a memory where you felt like your name, Diksha, really did impact or really played a role in something that you did?
Yeah. So, this has always been my name, and I have not had many nicknames as such. So even like while growing up, my father used to say in like early childhood that you might fit into a teacher role. But I was like, no, I don't think so. So, yeah, things were always there about it. But I've tried to explore my own journey. Like, okay, what I exactly want to do and how can I inspire others or help, like serve the world in a way so that it can become a better place for everybody.
I like that. If I'd met you at an event and you're introducing yourself, how best would you introduce yourself?
All right. So if I have to introduce myself, I would say that Diksha is an absolute learner and can be the most curious person around who can ask you a lot of questions. And talking about my journey, so I really love arts. I have a thing for nature. I'm a very simple person at heart, but I want to contribute to the workspace in a manner that I believe that a lot of people in today's world are working in corporates or any form of organized sector. Like people have jobs. So I think the part of job that I do right now, like human resources, people experience, people management, talent management, however you'd like to say it. So it really impacts people. It makes the whole working environment for an individual better. And since work is part of our, like a major part of our lives, I understand that how impactful and how important it is to feel valued, to feel, you know, to have that satisfaction that yes, you're doing something good, and have that environment around you with supports to bring your best work out. in your in whatever you are doing in an organization. That is how I'd put it.
What I find, like you described yourself, I think three things that I would use to describe myself to. You said you're a loner. You like art and nature.
Yeah, I do.
Am I a loner? Yeah, I am a loner. And art and nature are at the heart of everything I do because I love to take my nature walks and hikes, and art is what I surround myself on most time. Why would you describe yourself as a loner? Like, was that something you stumbled upon or something that was said to you to say, oh, you're such a loner?
Yeah, so I believe that around me, whatever happens, I try to learn as much as possible from it. Because I believe sometimes you learn the most from people around you. How they do things, how they think at times even. Like, so community is really important. That is what I think. And it really has a lot of impact in how we learn and grow in life. Yeah, that is all I'd say about it.
So you're from India, right? And your community is always such a big community because you have so many cousins, family, uncles, aunties, grandparents, and parents. What's like your highlight of being raised in such a community?
Wow, that's such a beautiful question, I'd say. So while growing up, I was born and raised in a joint family. So what that means is it's approximately 10 to 12 people in living in the same house. So it was such a lovely and enriching experience that, you know, you can talk to so many people. So there are old people, there are children, there are people in their middle age, somebody is growing up in the teenage. So you get to see people from all walks of life under the same roof, and you can talk about certain aspects to certain people, and they assist you in so many different ways in your life. So if, for example, I have some doubts about my career, for example, or for example, there's something going in college or school or work that I'm not very sure about, I can always reach out to somebody, because I'll find that, okay, this person has experienced that thing, and somebody is always around you.
Which I find very fascinating, right? Like, you always, I also grew up in a very big household. We were like 15 to 20 people.
Wow.
And I was raised with my grandparents. So it's like, the good part was, hey, there's always somebody to talk to, but there's always no space for you to.
Yeah, that is also one aspect of it, of course. That, yeah, yes, sometimes you feel like there's no space for your individuality at times, and the privacy thing, of course, is there.
And also, you're kind of grouped, right? If one person does it wrong, you all did it, right? Like, there's no exception. There might be, but there's no exception, because if one child did something wrong and they don't own up to it, it's going to be like, oh, the kids did it. So the kids all get to be punished, but I didn't do it. So there's also that, a little bit of competition, which is healthy, and comparison. So it's very interesting. So apart from the household you grew up in, do you have like any extended cousins, uncles you're pretty close to?
Yes, I do. So I'm close to both of my uncles that I have, and I'm very close to my aunties as well. So they live around as well. So whenever I have the chance or I'm missing family as I'm living far from my family, so I can always reach out to them and go give them a visit.
So now you have got out of the nest and you're living alone. How's that from, are you living alone? It's like from living with family and having people around to now, I'm assuming, living alone. How is that going?
Yeah, so I actually left my home when after my bachelor's degree, when I finished my undergraduate, and I was off to my first job in Gurgaon or Delhi, if you know, in India. So yeah, that was my first experience of living alone, which was, of course, not very good, because coming from a family where there's always somebody around, it was pretty weird for me to live all by myself alone, that too. So, but I did it anyhow, and then I went abroad to pursue my master's degree from the University of Edinburgh, and that was the major time in my life where I was without any external solid support from anybody, and I was just alone in a, like, so many thousand kilometers away from my family and from anybody that I knew, which I actually thought that I would go and reinvent myself. But what happened was I instead found the importance of roots in my life.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just want to escape and you want to recreate your life and just be somebody that you think you should be in your head. But it makes you realize that that is exactly what you actually are. Those are your roots. You cannot just cut it off and be something else. You have to hold on to it. They only help you to grow and be a better person. You can always learn and do different things or impart new things in your life and experiences. But if you leave your roots behind, who would you actually be? You would be lost.
I have to agree too. I think I've also been experiencing that more, and I've had conversations with my friends to say, one conversation we're not having as a generation is that we thought that we needed to dismantle everything our forefathers did, whatever they did, because we did not agree with it. So certain things did not work, right? Like, they just did not work, and very important for us to acknowledge that, to say, I did not like how that worked, or I did not see the value of that now. But there are certain foundations that anchored us and anchored our parents and our great grandparents, which is like just a foundation of family, right?
Absolutely, like, absolutely. And by roots, I would also say that, I mean, your values, your like childhood friends, your basic things that you are taught to do in life, and how such a nice community that I was in. I thought that I did not need it at all. But I, like, in a new country, you find yourself craving for a community.
Yeah, and you're craving for people who understand where you're coming from, who understand the type of values.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And in a country like UK, where people are there from all walks of life, from every corner of the world together. So, yes, you do want that, you know, a sense of community, and you want those people around you who can understand you the way people do to you at home. But of course, I understand that exact match might not be possible, but yes, you have to start somewhere.
And also, there's always something that, like, you build community for familiarity, right? So if I, there's this program we did, or let's say if I move to India and I meet a Zambian, me and the Zambian and I we will actually relate to each other because we're from the same country. Not because we're raised the same way, not because we are from the same tribe, but just because we're from the same country, that means that we have something in common, right?
Absolutely, and
you move across the country, you crave for commonality, right? Like, I want a space where I can feel safe and seen and heard and not be judged.
100%, yeah.
Because I disagree with certain things that, certain things that may not be appealing to me because of my values.
So, absolutely, yeah.
When you think about it that way, did that help you in your line of work now? You work at Alike. Tell me about Alike and your role there.
So Alike is a travel tech company. So our major objective is to give people the best travel experiences. That is all we are about, and that is what we believe in. And my line of work is more about, as you know, I'm a part of the human resources or the talent management people team. There are different words coming up for this particular industry every day. So, and I lead talent acquisition here particularly. Finding the best person and getting them on board so that they can start their work. That is more on the grounds of that what we do, what I do at Alike.
When I read more about Alike, I was wondering what's like the difference with booking.com, and it talked about how you have a system that would you have a system that helps put Alike people and experiences together to get the most possible experience, and it also had like an element of content creators, and like it was from the back of my mind, that's what I remember. But I was so curious to how that's like the main focus is making the travel experience better, and also having an element of content creators. Like, why is that something you're focusing on?
Yeah, so including from the traveler community, we usually find that there are travel influencers as well, right? The people who travel and they have their big fan base on the internet. So we do have a platform for those people, so they can also so basically the itinerary that they went through, wherever they stayed, wherever what they wanted to do, so they can sell those same itinerary to their followers through Alike.
And you get to play the role of somebody that is acquiring the talent to help build and reach that goal for Alike, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
And you also have experience in HR.
Yes, I do. So I did my master's in international human resource management. So that is why I am into this domain. And as I've told you earlier, so why I chose it is because I saw that there is a gap in the industry. And see, I've also been an employee, and I understand an employee's perspective as well, but I do understand that from a business owner's perspective, things might be different. So I want to minimize the gap in the middle and provide the best experiences to the both parties. That is the employer and the employee as well. How best we can work together so that the employees can have a good life and have job satisfaction, feel valued, and also contribute their best work, what they want to do. So that is what I try to do at times, just reduce that gap in the middle.
So when you look at your life and what you're currently doing and what, and from your experience, what do you think your why is? Like, why do you do what you do?
I do what I do because I have been an employee myself, and in a few of my past experiences and also what the things I've heard around, people sometimes do not feel valued at their work, or it just seems like people consider them to be just robots in a way. Like, they come to work, they do the work, and they just go home. There's nothing else involved. But I think that should not be the case. Everybody is a human being and should be treated like one. People, everybody has their own passion or why somebody is doing something. At the end of the day, everybody has to pay bills and we got to do something for ourselves, right? And if you love something that you do and you're doing through a company, or you're, for example, working with a within the organized sector, like basically in a job. Mm-hmm. So what best anybody can do is provide a good environment for you to do your good work that you want to do.
Do you think there's anything wrong with somebody coming to work for money?
No, I do not. I do not think.
It's something I've been very curious about, right? Like, I'm earlier on in my career or just in my life, right? Like, I'm in my 20s now and I'm building a business. So I own a company and I'm building a business, but I still need some sort of experience or just experience in specific industries that I would like to enhance my business in. And I always say this to people when you're about to hire me, I always say, hey, my aspiration is to own a unicorn company, right? Like, I want to own a unicorn company one day. I'm just here for the experience. And that could just be meaning that I want to just work here for 6 months or a year, then I'm out. And I'm also here for the money because I have bills to pay. My business isn't yet making a lot of money. And the reaction I get is so odd. Like, do you think employers want honesty from the other end to say, hey, this is where I'm at and this is what I need? I'm really good at what I do. I just know that this is not the line of work I would like to do to pursue your dream, but I have my own dreams and I might just give you a notice when it's time for me to leave and start from there.
So personally, of course, I do believe that honesty is a good thing from the start, so that it helps you as a person find the right company and the environment for you, and also for the employer to understand, okay, where the candidate is coming from. And if we can provide that kind of experience, what you're looking for, so that it is fair for the both sides.
From your experience as HR, like in this industry, and you get to do this, do you have anyone that comes up with that conversation during the hiring process?
Yep, there might be instances where people come up with it. Why not? Because a lot of instances are there. So there are like so many interviews that are done on a regular basis or at times. So of course, there are people from all walks of life wanting different things. So, and of course, you deal with people accordingly, according to their situations, according to what they want out of the role and what their aspirations are about it.
Interesting. When you look back to your childhood and where you are now, what do you think influenced your journey?
Okay, so While growing up, my grandmother has always been associated with the NGO. Okay. And since my childhood, I have always seen her going there and actually contributing, and I've heard so many stories and people coming up to our house and telling us about the impact that she has made over people's lives. So that is the kind of the core of which comes in me, that to serve people.
That is where the core is. What type of work was your grandmother doing with an organization?
Yeah, so my grandmother was basically managing the whole unit of that department. So she it was just a normal NGO in the community. So she used to take care of everything there.
It kind of reminds me of my grandma. She's literally always in an NGO, doing something, inspiring people. And yeah, I get to live off her goodwill when I meet mm-hmm. people, because they're like, oh, hi, you're the grandchild. We did this work with her and she's doing it amazing. That type of thing. When you look back home, you're back in India now, but when you think about your life, what are some of the things you've learned from your experience in the UK, back in India, the lifestyle? Like, what are the things you took away and said, I really want to take this and have it rooted and have it me rooted back into this system, because that's what works for me.
Yeah, so a few things that I learned in the UK was I need to focus on what I need. So, for example, coming from a huge family, it's like sometimes you lose your own voice. Like, what is exactly that I want to do? Like, because there's so many people around, you can see them doing a lot of stuff. You're like, should I do this? Should I not do that? And a lot of things you find interesting because somebody is doing something and they're viewed as very high status, or like, okay, wow, this is that person is doing and you should do it too. That's a respectable job. But in the UK, I realized that it's really not about what other people want. It's more about you. Would you be happy doing what you're doing? Is that really your call? One thing is this that I learned from there, and the other was surviving on my own. That was very, very different, because living from childhood to until I was 20 something, I was just in a great big awesome household, and always somebody was doing something, and I at times felt that I was at times just existing there. So I learned how to survive on my own and how hard it is. Like, the regular household stuff, somebody does it, right? It does not happen on automation. If it comes to the household course, while growing up it wasn't there. Of course, AI has come in and a lot of advancements have been made now in the technology. So yeah, it really teaches you a lot onto how to live alone and how to do everything for yourself. It shifts your perspective a lot. And what I believe that...
Yeah, please go on. Like, you believe that?
Yeah, I believe that every person needs their own struggle to actually value the right things in their life.
I swear. That's
what they actually want.
I know, right? Like, you really can't be pampered your way through life. Like, certain things can't be taken away from you. Certain experiences have to be experienced. Like, I can't say I will not experience this element of life. Let me give one a little obvious, is grief, right?
Yeah.
Whatever happens, no one can ever teach you how to grieve. Like, you have to experience grief on yourself, because you knew this person in a different way, you experienced them in a different way, and you had a relationship with them in a different way. Mm-hmm. So your grief will always be different. So it's, and I try to remind myself that I really have to experience life on my own.
Yeah.
But also, at least, why I think that family is important is, certain things you have to experience on your own, but you're not on your own. And I think what we're doing in this generation is thinking just because you're doing it on your own, you're on your own. Like, you have people love and support you, but they just can't experience it for you, but they're there. So it's not like, I really don't want you to take away my pain. I just want you to sit with me in it. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Because sometimes when you're coming from a pampered background, if you can say, or just like where you are supported, and when you're living just on your own, you realize that those things, you value things a lot more, Akka, because earlier it was just the regular stuff for you. But then you go out and then you realize that, okay, it is not the regular stuff. The world outside is very different from it used to be. And the things that were done, the support, the kind of environment, the kind of loving people that I had around, and the kind of relationships that I had are very rare. And it takes years to form those such relationships and such bondings. Such support and everything. So,
and also,
yeah, go ahead, please.
I also think that you don't take it for granted, and you also not start realizing that you're raised differently. Because every time I go out, I'm always big on this, right? Like, if what we get to know each other, I'm always like, oh, my grandmother, this, my uncle, this. Like, I'm always so rooted in my family, as if. Like, those are my first friends, like family friends, then my outside friends, the friends from walks of life. But I'm always going back to saying, hey, my family this, hey, my family wants to do that and that. Hey, I'm hanging out with my family. Hey, I'm going to do this with my family. And surprisingly, a lot have said it's so annoying to have somebody like me who's like really obsessed with their family. But I'm like, but they can relate. You won't understand, because they're my safe space. Like, I know the world is hard and I go to the world and I experience it, but I'm also grateful that I can come back and just have like a good love with people I love, because I can and I enjoy it so much. And we can talk about our childhood and reminisce about old stuff, but then it's still like a really, really safe space for me.
I cannot agree more, because while abroad, I have seen that people at times do not have such a beautiful relationship with back home. So some people want to stay away from home.
Yeah.
Due to, of course, many, many reasons in their own lives, which is absolutely valid and right. But yeah, so that gives you that if you have a good bond at your home, please cherish it. Please cherish whatever you have, because the world is harsh out there and so many people are going through so many different things that we are usually unaware about. So it's always better to be kind in general and just respect others.
And I also think that whatever we do, I hope that you know that you're loved at home. And for other different reasons, I think you and I come from a very traditional, rooted to family kind of being raised. And because maybe we've experienced not having that for a few years and realizing, hey, I really think having that is good for my system than completely not having it. I always like saying this to people, is I'm loved at home. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how harsh the world gets, I think it's very important to realize you're loved at home. And if that's not there, create yourself a community that reminds you of that. Create a community that's your safe space, something you can fall back on when everything else feels like it's falling apart.
Right. Okay, and I would, that's very interesting. So forming a community for yourself. I've tried, yeah. And yes, I have found a couple of beautiful friends as well, which support me and are my home. Absolutely. So they are my family now, part of my family now. So can you tell me a bit about forming community, how to go about it, how to find your own people? Just curious.
I think the first thing would be just recognizing that community is the basis of everything, right? You can't be friends with everybody. You need to have your people, you know what I mean? Like, apart from your family, you need to have people that you can relate to. And especially now that we are adults, that means that everything we experienced as children was organized. We were raised in an extended family, so we always had somebody to talk to. We always had someone to fall back on. But now that we're all living on our own and experiencing life on our own, that's still a need. But then I can't get it from home anymore because I'm no longer living at home. You know what I mean? Like, I'm in a different city. Right. So I still need that. Like, fundamentally, human beings are social beings, right? Nice. So you still need that relationship. It's just that when you're a kid, that was organized by your parents or your guardians. Now that you're not a kid, you have to have the initiative of forming that bond alone. I think it's just recognizing that it's part of being human, finding your clan, your squad, people you can relate to is interesting. And also, something we could recognize here is that there are different types of relationships. The relationship I had from high school with my high school mates is different because we were relating on, we were classmates, right? Like, so that's a different relationship. When we go, most of those relationships end, but some grow into adult friendship. When you go to university, mm-hmm, yeah, you also realize that, you become close to certain people because you have something in common, which is the course you're taking, the program you're studying. So even everything you do in that season will be aligned to that. And when all that is done, most of them will fall back off because now you don't have anything in common. But those that stay on is that you have decided to nurture that relationship to be something more than the high school you went to or the university you went to, because then that's why it's nothing bad for relationships to fall off. Like, there's nothing wrong if we were friends in high school and now we're no longer friends. We had something in common at that point. We were friends in high school. Now we don't, yeah, which is also like a valid experience. So I think the first step is just recognizing the different seasons and friendships that come and play, so that you now start realizing, okay, so if this is what's in play, how do I form a community from these different seasons in my life? Because even when you go to work, you have your friends there on the basis of we are workmates, then we have something in common that we could do together, which is go to work and work. So just recognizing the different seasons, friendships that are always going to be in play, I think is very important. Then secondly, it's just intentionally building those relationships. My friends and I have like the most random, interesting relationships because we are very intentional beings, to a sense that at first we could only do stuff if, we randomly meet each other at an event and like, oh, that's my friend. But now we intentionally have relationships because you want to be friends. So it's like you have to build on it every single day. It could be taking a few minutes to take your friend's call, to make a call, to text, to check in, because now you have moved past the "we're only friends because we have something in common" to "we're now friends because we have intentionally chosen to be friends." All right, and I think that one of my favorite things in the world has been like intentionally choosing to be friends with people, because other than from everything we're in common in, I like you as a person, I like what you stand for, I like your values, I like what you do in my life, and I hope you like what I do in your life and what we bring to the table. So it's literally, I think, building a community, you have to be very intentional. And it takes years, to be honest. Like, it's not 100%. It's not something you can stumble upon. It's like really years of experience. that sounds like a job description. But literally, being a friend to somebody doesn't mean we will not disagree. We will disagree. Absolutely. We will fight. It's just, in the end, nothing else matters but us choosing to be friends. And I think I'm so grateful that I really do have like the best communities. Like, from all those examples I have given, like, I have friends from university. Now I'm not a student, so I have like one or two friends I'm really close to that I was at the same university with. I have friends from an exchange program I did in America. Some of them are Indian. I have friends in different categories, but then we always choose to be friends, and we're so intentional about friendship. One thing I learned, though, was meet people where you are. So because if you travel a lot like I do, and obviously you have traveled a lot, you realize that when you come from different cultures, you learn different things. So what I learned from my Asian friends was they are very isolated. They like to isolate themselves, right? They don't express themselves a lot. You really have to be intentional about being friends with them, or that friendship will go. And because that's just how they were raised, right? Like, they were raised to be loners or to be, individuals. I don't know how best I can introduce that. I can describe this, but if you have any Asian friend, you realize that when they're together as friends, they can relate because they have something in common. But in a group, it's so hard for them to express themselves because, unlike us who are raised in extended families, some of them are just raised in a household of three people, four people.
Absolutely. So that is exactly the reason.
Yeah, like, they don't know how to manage a large quantity of friends. And I say this to my Asian friends all the time. Like, I'm so used to communicating to so many people at so many times, at random times, because I was raised in a household where a lot of us. So you learn to manage relationships because that's how you're raised. Like, you're really raised in a household where you're just managing relationships. It's a skill, you know? And me to expect that from one of my friends who is raised in a household of three is unfair. But it's like recognizing that from the start. So it's understanding and meeting everybody where they are is like something I'm grateful for. But the other lesson is, I think if you have outgrown a friendship, let it go. Like, it's certain things are meant for certain seasons, and that's okay. I think sometimes we always like to say, if you're no longer friends with somebody, it's bad blood. No, it's not. We're not friends anymore. We're acquaintances. And it's not bad blood. It's not that I have something against you. It's just life. Which is also fine. Yeah, that's my 2 cents on that.
That was really beautiful, Aka. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that as well.
No, thank you. So what's a fun experience you had in the UK?
Fun experiences. So I experienced a few things for the first time there, including my first snow. Because it's a cold nation, mm-hmm. and especially in winters, it can get a lot cold. So I went to I went to trips with my friends over there. I experienced my first snow, that I'd say, and I experienced for the first time. I experienced knowing people from all so many different places in
Backers,
the world.
Yeah,
it was also, it was a very enriching experience. And about fun, not that much, I believe, but yes, there were nice times with my...
Did you go hiking?
Yes,
I did. That's fun for me. Literally, if you tell me I went hiking, I'll be like, where did you go hiking? Tell me about the slopes. That's fun for me. Like, my fun is I went hiking and I went to a museum, or I went dancing for a dancing class. Like, fun should be what you do for fun, not what the mass does for fun.
Yeah, so yes, I did go for hiking. I also went to... I started going out by myself alone, to movie or to restaurants by myself, which I actually enjoyed.
You and I are the same person, Disha. We're literally the same person. You took, and I think maybe because of my energy, people would think I'm such an extrovert. I'm actually introverted, and I love. So right now I'm thinking, is there any restaurant I can go grab some food this afternoon? I'm actively always thinking of what can I do alone for fun.
Sometimes I just like to eat food alone because there's no noise. I just want to be myself at times.
I think that one of my favorite things is to find a good restaurant, find new good restaurants alone. Like, have good food at good restaurants alone. Like, that's like my underlining experience. Like, can I just find... I like to eat out. So I really like to experience food fully. So, yeah.
And also, I experience a lot of different world cuisines there. For Ooh. Example, like Chinese hot pot. I never even knew about it. But I made some Chinese friends and they took me out to... at the Chinese New Year with them to experience the hot pot, and it was amazing.
Don't you think that one of the pluses of traveling and having so many friends from different countries and walks of life is you get to experience their culture too? So you get to see how they see life, and I think...
Yeah. And you, for example, if I'm just living in India and I've never talked to a person from China or from America or from Africa, for example, anywhere in the world, and I have some, notions about them, just as because you're unaware about it, you have it. And then you go out and you actually learn that, okay, these people are different because they're supposed to be, because they have their whole cultures, histories of that place, coming from a very different place and time, how they've handled things were different. So that is the reason they're different, and it has to be that way because it's similar for all of us.
True. So one notion I had... or expectation I had from Indians was I expected my friends to be able to dance like the Bollywood stars. So I'm going to say this to Avantika. So my friends is Avantika, Rai, and Anusha. And I'm like, can you guys dance? I'm like, can you do something from the movies? And they find it so... I'm like... So Avantika is like a Bollywood star. She literally looks like a Bollywood star. So every time we look at her, I'm like, you are the definition of what I see on TV. Can you just please dance for me? She's like, no, Anka. And then she talks like, I like how Indian talks, but I feel like she's really talking like the ones from the TV. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is real. on any given day. So yeah, I'm so grateful that you get to, like you mentioned, you get to see stuff. And then when you get to actually meet the actual people, you realize that, oh, so this experience does exist, but in like very different aspects. And yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And also, Akai told me, it taught me that human beings, we all are so much similar.
Yeah.
And of course, we do have our differences in like how we do things at times.
Yeah.
But the core values, what we think, what we feel, it's all very similar. So no matter where you come from, if you're going through a heartbreak, for example, if you're having a tough day at work, if you are craving for your home food, you would feel the same things.
Yeah.
You are the same person all across the globe. And there's so much more that we can hold on to. And I believe that there's so much power in unity, so much power that we all can understand each other, be friends, and then continue that for life. So it's just beautiful how in moments of in your troubled times, when you find yourself alone at so many thousand kilometers away from your home, you can still find a fellow human being coming from a different part of the world and experiencing same things, and you can be friends. So that's just very beautiful.
Like you mentioned, I think we, no matter where you're coming from, we have a lot more in common than differences. And in 2023, how I got to have all these cross-culture friends, I went to the U.S. for a study of the U.S. Institute. Fellowship. And then we're all from like, I think we're about 20, about, from my cohort, from my institute, we're about 7 different countries, right?
Yeah.
And then we realized that we literally have a lot more in common than differences. Like, yeah, we always have differences, but we have a lot more in common. And one of my favorite conversations we always had were boy issues, because then we all had something to say.
Absolutely. That is the most common thing that, of course, mostly everybody has something to say. And we realized that, oh my God, that's so similar. That is how I feel also.
And so the girls and I met in Prague this year, in January. And then we had another session about men. Like, we sat down for like an hour before we went out. And we talked about men. And it was so funny, because I'm like, this is like the one issue, apart from everything else in our lives, that we can all just sit and agree on. Just as that.
Absolutely.
So yeah, no, it's there's so much to be grateful for, especially when you now start experiencing different friends from different walks of life. Yeah, there's like really so much to be grateful for. Like, I'm really, really always grateful for the experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's that time where I ask you if you have a question for me.
Okay, so I think, Aga, yes, I heard you that you want to build your business, and you're looking at it at in terms of that, yes, I want to be a unicorn business. So how did that come up? How did that originate? So that a part of your story, if you'd like to share, that why do you want to do this?
So when I was growing up, I wasn't the smartest kid. I think I've mentioned this a couple of times on the podcast. Like, I wasn't book smart. So when you're growing up in an extended house where everybody seems to be smarter than you, and you get to repeat a few grades, you get to struggle with reading and certain things, you start asking yourself, will I ever be the best employee, right? Mm-hmm. And also, we grew up in a very big household, so it means you don't get what you want all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, And I always want to experience life. And I'm so grateful that my grandfather did. So my grandfather before, we always have like night prayers. So he'd always like talk about his trip to the UK, him traveling on a plane. Like he had all these cool stories wow. about where he traveled, his experiences, because he really did travel a lot. And that just fed my imagination, right? Like it just fed that part of me that, hey, I really just want to experience life like that so ever since I was a kid. And to build in a company, I'm so passionate about helping people reach their full potential. I think that as young people, we really have to be very particular and very particular about how we intentionally invest in ourselves. Like I mentioned earlier, I wasn't such a smart kid, but then I realized that, hey, if I could do extra curriculum activities, this would enhance my public speaking. This would give me opportunities to do that. And yeah, you don't really expect, like in the informal sector, if you're volunteering and everything, and it's not the academia side, they don't expect anything from you. They just expect you to do the thing, right? How you do it doesn't matter most of the time. Just get it done. So from my various experiences, and I got to read Rich Dad Poor Dad when I was 17, I think. And by Robert Kiyosaki. And I was so curious about how to make money. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's always the curiosity. Like, how do I make money? How do I afford this? I like nice things. Like, I like a fancy phone. I like nice things, and I like to travel. So I'm like, if I would work a full-time employment, will I be able to live this life? Like, logically speaking, it's not possible to live like that if you're an employee.
Absolutely.
And you won't even have access to that money. And because also I come from a very extended family, I'm like, okay, but I also would like to take care of my nieces, my nephews. So I'd always think in that line. And I just thought if I would go into the corporate sector, it's going to take me a while to be very successful, right? And I'm like, well, if I could just create my own success. So reading started to make me see things in a different light. Reading about different companies, listening to podcasts. It gave me a picture to say it's very possible for me to do that because everybody else around the world has done it. Right? Like, I don't need so much. I just really have to have a dream. So I think it's really built in. I like to help people. One of my reasons why I don't think the corporate ladder is for me is that I don't follow instructions so well, and I don't do well in a setting that doesn't allow me to be very creative. I just have to follow the rules, that type of thing.
I understand
that. So that's why I got in. So just from that, I've been more business-oriented. And I find it like very, very interesting. So that's like a little bit of the backstory of how I ended up here.
Wow, that's real nice and inspiring. Inspire me.
I'm glad I could inspire somebody today. Thank you.
You did.
What do you look forward to?
Like in terms of life and how things are going ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. So as of now, I'm trying to figure out what exactly it is that I want to take, like which direction I want my life to go on to, because I do have a couple of options at this moment. Okay. Like the steps that I want to take and things that I've had in mind. So while growing up, I wanted to be so many different things, and what I'm doing now is a bit different from what I wanted to do. So it's more like, yes, figuring out and aligning myself in such a way wherein I see something better for myself.
I like that. Do you think you're going to be having any big changes in the next couple of months in your life?
Possibilities there, of course, but yes, a couple of next years or a couple of next like years are going to be defining.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that. And thank you so much for saying yes to a random stranger and being on the podcast, Diksha. I really do appreciate your story and learning about your multifaceted experiences and just us diving into like family. I think that's always going to be one of my favorite conversations on earth, is community. Yeah, and I'm really grateful you were here and we got to have this call and have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Aga. This was one of my first podcasts ever. So I am going to remember it. I hope that I was somehow able to add some value to fellow people who are in their 20s, figuring out life, start in early careers, trying to build a life for themselves. So I really hope that I could add some value here. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm very grateful for you to sending me a message as a random stranger to be on your podcast.
For saying yes. With that, thank you so much and bye for now.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.